You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere. It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Buddy, you want coffee?
Coffee.
Lacked coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you!
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live!
And that's the way it is.
On 92.7 FM WMDX. Take it away, boys.
John and Gordy in the morning. John and Sam with you this time around. And it's a beautiful, gorgeous morning. It's still 58 degrees. We're going to go up to 73. Hot, muggy day again, just like yesterday. Just really uncomfortable. And now I've got to put an air conditioning unit into my kid's apartment above us. He's renting our unit in the house. It's always nice to have that. He's close by. I like that. Low tonight around 46. Chance of showers throughout the day. But in the afternoon, very slim chance of showers. And I just want to welcome in our guest this morning from the Madison Hearing Aid Center. This is Jim and Sarah Lippold. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, John.
Right. Thanks much.
All right. You know, I've always been interested in hearing aid technology, you know, where it's all going. Because a lot of people, when they think they may need a hearing aid, they're afraid to get it. They're afraid to look into it. And I think with technology, the way things have gone now, it's a lot easier and it's less scary at this point. So tell us about that. Tell us your experience with at least breaking that barrier of having a hearing aid, Jim.
Okay, so I'm going to step
oh,
back
yeah, let's,
a little
bit. Okay, step back. Give us a little bit of background on your business and okay. How you got into it.
Okay, so I'm going to start from kind of a long time ago. So I come from a family who has been doing this for many, many, mm-hmm. many years. My dad actually is a doctor of audiology. For a while, he was a professor at UW-Eau Claire, and we owned a family hearing aid practice in central Wisconsin. And so I followed in his footsteps in a hybrid way, where I'm a hearing instrument specialist, but had to take his classes to understand what I'm doing from a completely different standpoint. So I've worked in ENT clinics, and I've worked in our family practice, really understanding things from a very different standpoint as far as when to look for, what to look for when a person comes into our office. But I remember when I was 4 years old, kind of being a test subject for people, for students at various clinics. So I've seen the progression of hearing aids from basic screw adjustment hearing aids, where you just put them in your ear and volume changes up and down with a screwdriver, to going into the mid-2000s, where all of a sudden we had hearing aids that could separate speech from noise, but you were still suppressing the noise. Now we're at the point where it's really fun technology, where the hearing aids are very, very smart. I can send you into the Kohl Center, and the hearing aid will know that, you know, you're trying to listen to that person over there. It's suppressing the loud crowd noise, and you can sit down and have a comfortable conversation with a really smart hearing aid. So in the past, people were really afraid to get hearing aids because they heard the horror stories that, you know, these aren't working. My grandpa got hearing aids, and all they did was whistle, or they're sitting there going, they don't work for me. Now people come in and go, wow, these are fantastic. So people, instead of waiting that 7 years, mm-hmm. that stigma, as we're seeing younger and younger and younger people coming into our office on a weekly basis, where in the past it was people in their 60s and 70s. Now people want the hearing aids because they're fun tech devices, and they're in their 30s and 40s, not waiting long into life to get help.
Sir, is there like an interview process to determine what kind of hearing aid is more likely to fit that individual?
Yeah, definitely. It goes by your lifestyle and what your needs are. So we actually have, you know, obviously you ask people, there's a questionnaire that we ask when people come in, but you know, it goes deeper than that. Jim is very good at being a very good consultant. So he's more of an advisor and consultant when people come in. So it's a bit of a process. But it's painless and it's worth it.
Yeah. Well, I know with the new technologies and everything, it really makes it so much easier. You know, we are so tied to our phones now and tied to our television sets. And there is something called Bluetooth now.
Yep.
That has made this whole thing so much easier. Let's talk about the hearing aids that are available on the market today. I know there's testing that you do and you go through that process. But as far as the hearing aids are concerned, people have quite a few options this time around, don't they?
Each one of the so I'm not tied to any one of the manufacturers.
Yes.
When a person comes into me, we have a conversation about, like what Sarah said, what are your goals? Being a family clinic, we can do it our way. So I don't have anybody above me saying, this is what you've got to do, this is what you've got to fit. So also,
you know, that's a big issue. You know, being a family clinic, you know, instead of just one of these organizations that just sent mailers out and get you to come in and
exactly,
and try to sell you something.
Sarah and I, when somebody calls us on the phone, we are the two people that are going to answer the phone call. When somebody comes in for the test, you're going to see me, and then that's when I kind of called. That's when our relationship starts for the life of the hearing aid. It's not just, you know, we're going to have that conversation and look at the audiogram and say, yeah, you need some help, or you know what, your hearing is okay. Come back and see me again in 3 years to have your hearing tested. And then from that point, we're going to talk about what I would recommend and have that conversation as far as the style of hearing aid. Nobody fits one mold into one make or model of hearing aid. So it's having that conversation as to what the patient is comfortable with.
Yeah.
Maybe they have dexterity problems. Maybe they live in a really busy, noisy environment, or maybe it's just a soft environment, but it's having that conversation, making it individualized and really creating it for that particular patient.
Yeah, something just occurred to me, maybe a recreational hearing aid of some sort. Help people go to a concert or make it easier for them to.
Well, the concert people, it's interesting. I make a lot of ear impressions for, I make a lot of ear protection for people that go to concerts to protect their hearing.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But going back to your original question, the Bluetooth, okay? Mm-hmm. You had asked about Bluetooth.
Yes.
We're able to connect each one of the different manufacturers has an app on their phone. Some are easy, some are a little bit more challenging. Some of the hearing aid manufacturers allow the person to really become the artist with their hearing aids. So they can have endless amounts of settings that they want to put for each environment that they go into. They can also geotag it. So the hearing aid remembers, you know, I stepped into this restaurant and I liked it. I liked my hearing aid maybe a little less.
Really?
With the background noise or a little bit less in the high frequencies. They can tell the hearing aid what to do and the hearing aid remembers it when they go back into that spot. But you can take the phone calls for most hearing aids. A lot of them have where if you were to lose the hearing aid, it's going to tell you where the phone last talked to the hearing aid, those sort of things.
Well, the concern I had, I'm older, and I was, worried about the idea that they say that because you start losing the ability to hear certain frequencies, that it also is a precursor to maybe dementia or Alzheimer's.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that correlation.
Okay, so there was a study done a few years ago over many, many years about the correlation between untreated hearing loss and dementia. And they found that the brain actually does your hearing for you. So your auditory cortex, The ear collects the sound. The auditory cortex in your brain does the hearing. And what started happening that they found was the brain actually starts to shut down the area of hearing that it's not using. And this actually started leading to higher rates of dementia. And the sooner that you get tested for hearing loss and get treated for the hearing loss, it cuts your chances of developing or slows that chance of developing dementia way down.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've often seen people where, you know, the husband and wife, they come in and she's like, he can't remember anything. And I remember this going back probably 15 years ago. For different patients, I'd fit a hearing aid on somebody and all of a sudden they'd be like, you gave him his life back. He's remembering things. He's on top of things. He wants to go do things again.
Yeah.
And it was that bridge between that person had a really severe hearing loss and now they're out living their life again. Correct. And that was one of the most beautiful things that I'm able to do for people.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting story because, you know, people suddenly, their life opens up a little bit more. They can hear things. It doesn't seem like it's such a, and it makes things less effort, or effortless. It makes it more effortless. But, you know, some of the newer devices that are out there are, you know, they go inside your ear, you know, and they have a little post that comes out, so you grab that in order to take it out of your ear. But it has all of this technology inside. It has the Bluetooth, right?
Some of the ones inside have the Bluetooth, depending on the manufacturer.
Yeah.
But all of them that go up behind the ear. So you've got to remember, each one of the manufacturers are at different parts of the game. Not all hearing aids are created equal.
Yeah.
That's why I kind of have that conversation with people and look at, What do you want? Some of them that go down in the ear, yeah, you can talk back to your phone and take the phone calls. Others we can't because there's just so much packed into that little device that there's only so much room. But it really depends again on the size of the hearing aid and
Do you think more people are going to the inner ear type of device? And these are kind of disposable. You know, once they run out of power after about 3 months, you get a different one, right?
Some of those are. Others, we take an ear impression of the ear. We can go real deep down into the ear, and you can have that hearing aid for 5-6 years, if not longer. Mm. The little ones that go back behind the ear, some of the manufacturers are making them where the hearing aids are really, really made durable. So I often joke about this, but with some of them, you can throw them into a couple feet of water, come back in a week, and they're going to work. But the hearing aids that go back up behind the ear, those are made to last a lot longer than the little ones that go down in the ear. But there are disposable.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's nice. That is nice.
Wausau is going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I see. I have my jerseys. I got a love jersey. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
I need one of those.
But I have a white one that is I believe it's a Don Majkowski jersey.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do have a Favre jersey, but I don't know, you know, wearing that in public, I'm not quite sure that works.
You don't have a Rogers.
Yeah. Yes. I have a lot of those. You know, go into Dick's Sports, you know, and they'd have like
clearance.
They have like Brett Favre jerseys way up on the roof, you know, just, you know, kind of away from everybody.
That's
hoping
funny.
That no one looks up, I suppose.
Right. 10 seconds.
The Wisconsin landscape.
landscape is lit up by a million shining stars. I am traveling up the Edens to the land of the under 21 bars. I'm going to Cheeseland, Cheeseland, the Dells in Door County. I'm going to Cheeseland.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning. John and Sam with you this morning. And let's go to the WMDX meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, with the latest in the weather. What's up? What is going on out there?
Oh, good morning. Good morning. I feel like all of Wausau is just headed to the Fox Valley right now.
Oh, yes. You've got your,
ready for the draft.
Got your Green Bay Packer jersey on. It's gorgeous. It's really nice.
Thank you.
I love the white ones. You know? Yeah. But if you're snacking, you got to be careful with the white jerseys, right?
That's true. Yeah. Very true. Yeah. I've been lucky so far.
Yeah. You know, with the weather and everything, you know, it occurred to me yesterday that it was so hot and muggy. We're going to have to start reporting on the humidity and the dew points. And, you know, I love the dew points.
I love that you love it, though. It's important. It's really important.
It really is. Yes. So what's going on today?
Well, you know, we're still going to get pretty warm today. Temperatures are still going to flirt with 70 degrees in Madison. It'll be partly cloudy, more clouds in the morning, a little bit more spots of sunshine later on this afternoon. And, of course, temperatures right now are at about 55 degrees. So we're going to rise a little bit. We've got some scattered showers and some thunderstorms that want to hold off and move in probably overnight tonight, after midnight or so. And then it kind of lingers into our morning tomorrow with some scattered rain there, probably ending around 11 o'clock or so. Picking up about a quarter inch of rainfall, that clears on out of here, and crisp and cool air does move in, so the dry air, no humidity tomorrow. But it's going to be breezy. Winds pulling out of the north at about 30 miles per hour, keeping us down to temperatures in the mid to upper 50s, and it's going to be mostly cloudy. So kind of dreary tomorrow, but the sunshine makes its way back for the weekend. High pressure stays here for Saturday and Sunday, so it'll be a perfect spring day. On Saturday, highs at about 60 degrees, and then we get a little bit warmer on Sunday into the mid-60s before more of your humidity comes back on Monday.
Yeah.
It's gonna be warm and humid with temperatures near 80 to start off next week.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I had to give you a heads up because you brought it up specifically.
Well, exactly. And we have an apartment above us in our house, and my son is now renting that. And he came to me yesterday and said, you know, we have to, it's always warmer in the upper flights.
Oh, yes.
So we said, we got to put that air conditioner in. And that's what I'm doing today. But anyway, that sounds great. You know, I like the warm weather. You know, I've been waiting for this all winter long. I think we all have, actually. So this time we're finally into spring and grilling out and the Packers and the draft. Mm-hmm. So we'll be watching that as well. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. We have a good day.
All right. You too. Thank you, Brittany.
Thanks.
All right. And right now, we're our special guests in the studio, Madison Hearing Aid Center, Jim and Sarah Leipold. And we originally talked about, you know, who wears hearing aids and who wants to wear them. And the interesting thing is now we all have ear attachments in some way, shape, or form, right?
Right. And nobody truly wants to wear a hearing aid, right?
Right.
But you want to be able to hear and interact with other people and have those conversations and be a part of things and a part of life. But yeah, everybody these days does have something in their ear. There's no stigma there really anymore with that.
Exactly.
It's a normal, everyday thing. So
you know, I've been talking about like the inner ear. I kind of like that technology, but it's not that I'm focusing really on that specifically. It just miniaturizes even the behind the ear hearing aid as well, and makes that even more presentable and less noticeable for a lot of people.
Yeah, even the behind the ear, the Ricks, they disappear. You don't see them. I mean, unless you tell somebody that, hey, you know, I have a hearing aid, nobody even knows it's there. It just disappears into your hairline and, you know, behind your ear. It's very, very invisible. Either way you go, you can't go wrong with that because people just aren't noticing it.
Yeah, there are some over-the-ear earbud headphones that you can wear as well. So, I mean, it doesn't even matter anymore, right?
Mm-hmm. No, it's kind of funny. And they're made to look cool. Yeah. The hearing aids aren't ugly.
Yeah, it's
kind of funny when you say the little ones that go back up behind the ear. There's been, I think, 3 incidents now where people have been to the barber or the beautician, and they forget to take out the hearing aid, and the person comes back to me and says, "Jim, I need some help. The barber cut my hearing aid in half." Yeah. Oh. So it cut the wire because wow. They couldn't see it. They thought it was a strand of hair.
That's wild.
But yeah, you're packing so much. The circuits inside of these things are so small.
I've been following this for a while. They didn't have Bluetooth for Android phones. Mm-hmm. It was just for the iPhones.
In 2016, the first made-for-iPhone came out. And then a couple of years later... The chips came out in Bluetooth. Yeah. And it's really opened up a world of possibilities.
It really has. People can watch TV now.
There's a new invention that's coming out. So some of the manufacturers are on top of this thing called Auracast.
It's already out, actually.
Auracast is really fun. So we've all heard of the loop before, where you loop churches or you loop like the Overture mm-hmm. Center. And you can, if your hearing aid had this T-coil in it, you could pick up the broadcast from that. Now, this new invention called Auracast is it basically is going to be made into the TVs, streamed right into the hearing aids. Or if you're at a sports bar and there's 5 different TVs up there, you don't want to watch that TV. You go into your app, pull up that TV, and you'll get that information into your ears, or an airport gate, or a place like a performing arts center where you can just go and get it right into the hearing aids.
That is.
It's John and Gordy in the morning.
And I want to look them straight in the eye, and I want to tell them what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dip-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is. Where's the Tylenol?
Gonna need it. John and Gordy in the morning, WMDX 92.7. Gordy's still out, and Sam is here, our producer. To help out whenever he can. In fact, most of the time, he's helping out. I wouldn't be able to play some of these tracks.
You need a lot of help, don't you?
I know. I do need a lot of help. I put this thing together. Ever since the Trump administration took aim again at public television, public broadcasting, I don't understand the hatred they have for something like this. There's so little money going to them, but still, you know, the Republicans, they don't want their money going there. They'd much rather have it where? Going where? Come on, folks. Anyway, since Doge appeared and is accusing everybody of fraud and abuse, they're looking now, can you believe this, the FCC, which is in the Republicans' hands right now, are actually launching a probe into public broadcasting. Well, I'm sure they'll find a lot there. A lot of bias, a lot of woke stuff that they just can't believe they're doing. Anyway, I put this little special together for you, and I hope you find it a little interesting. Let's first go to Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's calling for dismantling everything about public broadcasting, the defunding especially. So let's listen to this particular cut one.
The kind of money that's being wasted, and it's a very biased view.
Right-wing loathing for PBS was around long before Donald Trump was president.
Richard Nixon feared it would be a platform for the left, and PBS helped bring him down with gavel-to-gavel coverage of the Watergate hearings. Liberal bias remains a key part of the argument, fueled by moments of poor judgment, like this one by NPR CEO Catherine Marr.
Why did you call President Trump a fascist and a deranged racist sociopath in 2020?
I regret those tweets. I would not tweet them again today.
But these days, there's a new twist to the attack on public broadcasting.
It is brainwashing the American people, and more significantly, American children, with un-American, anti-family, pro-crime fake news.
Madam Chair, if shame was still a thing, this hearing would be shameful.
Its legacy of top-shelf kids programming and journalism far outweighs the occasional blunder, argued advocates like PBS CEO Paula Kerger.
There's nothing more American than PBS.
And the GOP pitch left them open to ridicule as well.
The American people want to know, is Elmo now, or has he ever been, a member of the Communist Party of the United States? A yes or no?
No.
Now, are you sure, Ms. Kerger? Because he's obviously red.
Well, he is a puppet, but no.
Elmo's saying no, no, no.
Yeah, actually, he's a Muppet, not a puppet.
That's right.
Yeah.
Very clear distinction. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Let's make that clear.
Past efforts to defund NPR and PBS have failed. What are the odds they're going to pass this time?
Well, you know, things are so chaotic down in D.C. right now, Lisa. I mean, even the sports betting apps aren't going to give you a line on what's going to happen there. But that when there was a stream of federal funding assigned to public broadcasting was back in a time before the internet. Now those people can get their news elsewhere. So we'll see. But in the meantime, the $535 million that public broadcasting gets from the feds, it's a rounding error in the overall budget. And with polls showing the public approves of that funding by nearly a 2-to-1 margin, Musk and the Doge budget cutters may find the going is going to get tough.
Well, it is really tough, isn't it? You never know. You know, the Muppets, they've actually been pretty liberal over the many years. They actually started off on some of the more liberal programs, but they were very, very edgy in the very beginning. And then, of course, Sesame Street came along and helped a lot of kids learn a lot of things. Jesse Waters did that. He had his kid watching Sesame Street. And let's listen to Jesse Waters on his impressions. Let's hear.
The government can't fund reporters who are trying to overthrow this government. We have enough propaganda channels. Why should taxpayers be on the hook for this one? I like Sesame Street. I grew up on it. I was Oscar the Grouch for Halloween. And my daughter, Gigi, loves Elmo. But around 99% of PBS and NPR's money comes from private donations. So why can't these donors pony up 1% more? Do they really need taxpayer money if they have billions pouring in from liberal benefactors? The answer is, of course not. But Democrats don't want to save any taxpayer money. They just want to run against Musk in the midterms.
It is the mindset of the Trump administration. And that is that this government is to be run for a handful of billionaires and people with power. And everyone else can just eat dirt. We're feeling it everywhere that Elon Musk goes with his magic chainsaw to fire people, to do it in ugly ways, to undermine the kind of obligations we have passed here in Congress.
But don't forget about DEI tomato seeds.
Behind a door at USDA, we found a whole box of these seeds. These are specific tomato seeds that are for growing diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility at USDA. I mean, look at these. If you can be anything, be inclusive at USDA.
Fox and Friends weekend co-host Charlie Hurt is here. DEI tomato seeds. I did not see that coming, Charlie.
Yeah, we need to get on top of that. My tomatoes are racist, apparently. So we need to do something about that.
Unbelievable. You know, they can't have any fun with any of this stuff, right? You know, this DEI, the excuse for everything, to get rid of everything in government because of DEI. Tomato seeds. I do love that. You know, let's grow diversity. You know, it was a lot easier at one time for getting funding for public broadcast. Oh, let's go up to Matt here out middle.
You don't need to break off whatever sentence you were saying.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, I take your directions seriously. You know, you always get at me about that. But okay, I do want to play this. It was easier at one time, Matt. Hold on. It was easier just to get that funding, and they had the big stars asking for the money in Congress. And let's listen to just one of those golden moments when PBS got the funding.
I'm the host, yes, and I do all the puppets, and I write all the music, and I write all the scripts.
Well, I'm supposed to be a pretty tough guy, and this is the first time I've had goosebumps for the last 2 days.
Well, I'm grateful not only for your goosebumps, but for your interest in our kind of communication. Could I tell you the words of one of the songs which I feel is very important?
Yes.
This has to do with that good feeling of control, which I feel that children need to know is there. And it starts out, what do you do with the mad that you feel? And that first line came straight from a child. I work with children, doing puppets in very personal communication with small groups. What do you do with the mad that you feel when you feel so mad you could bite? When the whole wide world seems oh so wrong and nothing you do seems very right, what do you do? Do you punch a bag? Do you pound some clay or some dough? Do you round up friends for a game of tag or see how fast you go? It's great to be able to stop when you've planned a thing that's wrong and be able to do something else instead and think this song. I can stop when I want to, can stop when I wish, can stop anytime. And what a good feeling to feel like this and know that the feeling is really mine. Know that there's something deep inside that helps us become what we can. For a girl can be someday a lady, and a boy can be someday a man.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. Looks like you just earned the $20 million.
See how easy it is? Just like that. All right, you know, I've had so many golden moments with my kids watching public television and Arthur, Teletubbies, Thomas, the Tank Engine. You know, some of the hosts were George Carlin and Alec Baldwin, who narrated those shows. Blue's Clues with Steve and Reading Rainbow, which is what I want to focus on here, hosted by LeVar Burton. He was Geordi in Star Trek, huge Emmy winner, too. They did a presentation of the book The Wall, and here's a great clip from that show. I want you to listen to this. It's great stuff.
The Wall's official name is the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. It was built to honor soldiers who gave their lives in battle. They fought a war and died in a country called Vietnam. There are 58,000 of them etched in shining black stone. Visitors from every part of our country come here to remember friends and family members lost long ago. It's a chance to think about someone special you miss, or someone you never met, but wish you had.
And the story of one boy's visit is told in this book, The Wall, by Eve Bunting.
This is The Wall, my grandfather's wall. The wall is black and shiny as a mirror. In it, I can see Dad and me. A man in a wheelchair stares at the names. He doesn't have legs. I'm looking, and he sees me looking and smiles. A woman, old as my grandma, is hugging a man, old as my grandpa would be. They're both crying. Shh, he whispers. Shh. Flowers and other things have been laid against the wall. There are little flags, an old teddy bear, and letters weighted with stones so they wouldn't blow away. Dad runs his fingers along the rows of print. His fingers stop moving. Here he is. George Munoz. My grandpa, I ask. Dad nods. Your grandpa. My dad. Dad's rubbing the name. Rubbing and rubbing as if he wants to wipe it away. Maybe he just wants to remember the way it feels. A man and a boy walk past. Can we go to the river now, Grandpa? The boy asks. Yes. The man takes the boy's hand. But button your jacket. It's sad here. He puts his hand on my shoulder. I know, but it's a place of honor. I'm proud that your grandfather's name is on this wall. I am too. I am. But I'd rather have my grandpa here, taking me to the river, telling me to button my jacket because it's cold. I'd rather have him here.
Pretty amazing. Amazing stuff. Whew. All right. Anyway.
It gets you.
Yeah, it really does. But a great moment, public broadcasting brought that moment. Something we should keep in mind. Not so much propaganda, but emotion.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
One step beyond.
WMPX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning. John and Sam this time around, and we're having some fun. And, you know, I always wanted to present something like that on PBS. It's just one of the most important times I think I had with my kid, watching those kids' shows, and they just loved them themselves. So it's something to protect. It isn't something evil, and it's not abuse, and it's not fraud, and it's not propaganda. It's just something for kids, and they did such a great job writing for those kids and providing the right programs from other syndicators as well. So.
But you're forgetting that because Elmo is red, he's a communist.
That's right.
And we can't have him on public television.
That's right. You never know, right?
Exactly. Right. Hey, John, mm-hmm. Did you know that the John and Gordy Show has been brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison?
I did know that.
And that one thing that remains constant about Verlo Mattress since their founding in 1958 is that they're still direct-to-consumer and provide superior products at unbeatable prices. And that you can find a Verlo Mattress online at verlo.com or on Madison's east or west side.
Fantastic. And get those adjustable bed frames. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Matt's been waiting quite a while out there in Middleton. Matt, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Thanks again for what you do.
Yeah.
Of course, MAGA and the fascists don't like PBS because it teaches young people empathy and kindness, and MAGA runs on cruelty. Cruelty is the point.
Yeah.
Remember Elon Musk. Empathy is the downfall of Western civilization, because how dare you care about anybody? We run on selfishness. That's the American way, right? Look after yourself.
That's right.
PBS also educates. They don't want people educated. They want you stupid, ignorant, not knowing history, not knowing what's happening while they take away your money, take away your retirement, drive America into bankruptcy and poverty, because that's what Trump is good at. MAGA is stupidity, period. A bunch of stupid people that only care about themselves. I'm angry today. Sorry about that. I love you guys. Have a good day.
All right. I appreciate that, Matt. I'm angry as well. Those people taking pot shots at public broadcasting. Now let's go to Dick on the line. Dick, welcome to the show.
Well, they are saving us from woke, left-leaning tomatoes. I mean, what's next? If the tomato growing in your garden, son, if it's leaning slightly to the left, don't eat that tomato off that.
Yeah.
I mean, they have too much time on their hands. That's all there is to it.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. And Mark texted me. He said, I wonder if Fox and Friends knows that it was brown-skinned indigenous people who developed and gave us tomatoes, potatoes, beans, and maize, not white Europeans. So, yeah. See, they would learn something if they had PBS, right?
Yeah.
And
they have Fox.
And then we have Jesse Waters, who watches it with his daughter, right? And he, I can't believe it. How do you come out against something like that when you spend those golden moments with your kids? You know? I mean, where's his heart? Right. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Dick, thank you. I appreciate the call on that. We have a few more texts here. We have Steve from Sun Prairie. How many tax dollars are used? I'm tired of conservatives complaining about it, and I don't want my taxes paying for NPR and PBS, or I don't want my taxes paying for Planned Parenthood. Well, I don't want my taxes paying for human trafficking of migrants from the U.S. to El Salvador. And that's true. I mean, you know, we could pick and choose what we don't want to spend our tax dollars on, but that's not the point. The point is that we represent everybody. We spend it on PBS for supposed liberals. I think it should be for everybody. Huh? I mean, this is how we do it. We just spend money, and we're supposed to spend it wisely. And what we're hearing from Doge is that it's not being spent wisely. I doubt that. I highly doubt that. Do we have 3 minutes? All right, I want to get to this.
You have a three-minute story?
Yes. Hurt? I want to get to this. This is Bill Maher. And people hate Bill Maher. He's such a, yeah. And Larry David had this great parody of Bill Maher's meeting with Trump, which is fantastic. Anyway, COVID influenced gig economy, meaning many now are independent contractors and tech, AI, software, gaming, research are all newer sectors, still morphing into other jobs and different educational requirements, right? So anyway, we've got this gig economy, but Bill Maher is stuck in the 20th century, having fun, joking about it. Let's listen to Cut 207. This is Cut 207, joking about Gen Z. Let's listen to this.
And finally, new rule now that the Trump administration has decided that America will pay any price and bear any burden to bring back factory jobs, they have to answer one question. Who's going to take them? Who exactly is supposed to do all this monotonous, low-paying labor? Immigrants? They're all deported. It'll probably be robots if we're not using them all for sex slaves. But I'll tell you who's definitely not doing it. Gen Z. They don't care who's for the working class, because a lot of them, let's not paint with a broad brush, not
That's
all,
right.
but a
no,
lot of them,
don't do it.
Don't want to work. 7 million men in the prime of their life who are neither working nor looking for work, which is more than four times what it was back in the day. NILF. It stands for not in labor force. Unemployed people are looking for work. NILFs are not. They're what we used to call deadbeats. Half of American parents with adult children provide them regularly with financial assistance, spending almost $1,500 per...
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.